I wanted to cover what I believe to be the most alarming trends for 2024, since we are, you know, ushering in the new year here. And I'll go through the list here. One of the most important trends, of course, is the provocation of war with Iran and Russia and China. The United States of America is, of course, led by lunatics and psychopaths and, you know, communist-minded war criminals and election fraudsters and so on. And they want to have a war with China at the same time they have a war with Russia, at the same time they have a war with Iran. And at the same time, they're trying to, I guess, defend Israel in its war against Gaza and Hezbollah and Lebanon. I guess Israel wants to just kill everybody from Iraq and the Saudis and the Syrians and so on. I mean, how many wars can the U.S. fight? I think the answer is zero, actually. I think the answer is zero, because the U.S. has been defeated by Russia in Ukraine. The U.S. did not win that fight. Ukraine did not win that fight. Russia won that fight. I mean, it's the outcome is not in doubt at this point. So one of the biggest trends is that the U.S. State Department and the Biden regime and whoever is pulling his strings, the puppet masters, are going to try to get us into wars with Iran and China and Russia. And the situation with Iran is very, very dangerous, because it seems like there's this coalescing of naval assets in the area there, even in the Persian Gulf and in the Red Sea, you know, after traversing the Suez Canal, even near the Strait of Hormuz, right off the coast of Iran. And it seems like the U.S. is gearing up for some kind of massive missile barrage attack on Iran. And when that happens, Iran will sink some U.S. naval ships. And then the U.S. will go insane and say, oh my God, we're being attacked. I mean, this is the same game they played with Russia, right? They just keep pushing and pushing and provoking and, you know, trying to start something. And then when Russia does something, oh my God, we're being attacked. And Russia's the aggressors, you know. They're going to play the same game with Iran. And then when U.S. naval vessels sink, you're going to see this big American domestic declaration of war against Iran to say, oh, you know, 3,000 sailors died or whatever the number is, and we have to go to war with Iran, because if we don't, and if we let them beat us over there, then they're going to come over here, which is always the big lie told by people like, you know, Michael Bolton or the late John McCain or Lindsey Graham and all these other warmongers. Like, if we don't beat them over there, they're going to come over here and beat us here. No, you know who's beating us here is all the illegals that are streaming across the open border at the rate of about 300,000 a month. That's like 10,000 a day, folks. We're being invaded right now in America, but all our so-called leaders, all they care about is starting other wars with other nations and never defending our borders. So that's the biggest trend right off the bat to think about in 2024. If you're an American, you are under the thumb of a suicide cult in Washington, D.C. that's trying to get this country nuked to death, and by provoking war with nuclear powers like Russia. You know, when the U.S. attacks Iran, Russia is going to be forced to respond. Oh, in fact, as I'm recording this, some intel just came in. This is from Intel Slava on Telegram. Ukraine's Southern Operational Command reports that Russian strategic bombers have departed from air bases deep into Russia, now making at least 21 Russian strategic bombers currently airborne. That's 17 Tu-95Ms and 4 Tu-22M3s that are in the air right now as I'm recording this. Also, the Iran has evacuated its IRGC troops from Syria. So it looks like Iran is anticipating a massive missile barrage attack by U.S. forces. And I wonder if Russia is preparing for a hypersonic missile response to take out a U.S. aircraft carrier. I wonder if that's what we're about to witness, because that's one scenario that we should consider. So continuing with our alarming trends for 2024, let's move to the second one here. And that is the rise of AI office workers that will replace human beings. Now, as you know, I'm deeply involved in the development of an AI large language model project. And so I'm getting up to speed on current AI systems. And what I've already learned is so shocking to me. Not only the fact that current AI systems that work in software can replace about 50% of office workers right now today. Their capabilities are beyond what most people understand. But the other thing that just really leaps out at me about all this is that the capabilities of these AI systems were entirely unanticipated. In fact, I would say that just about 5 years ago, most AI researchers did not believe that what we've now witnessed with ChatGPT, they did not believe that was even possible. That these AI models, they engage now in what appears to be reasoning. They go through a sequential thought process or a reasoning process. They can reason through thought problems. They can write computer code. They can do some types of math now. They can pass medical exams and bar exams and so on. But they actually have some kind of reasoning now. And the shocking thing about all this is that none of those capabilities were ever programmed into the AI systems. There are no reasoning circuits in these AI systems. They don't exist. There's no code in these AI systems that tries to define, for example, the parts of speech. Like, these are nouns and these are verbs and these are adjectives and these are pronouns. And here's how you construct sentences. And here's the hierarchical, you know, semantic tree of meaning and understanding in the English language. And here's all these rules you follow, blah, blah, blah. No, none of that was programmed into these systems. None of it. What they did is they just fed these systems billions and billions of documents of human text and built this hyper-dimensional array of relationships between words and phrases. And that's it. That's all they did. Well, and they fed it a bunch of computer code and a bunch of science papers and math papers and stuff too. But they never gave it any ability to reason. The reasoning emerged itself as an emergent property out of the parameters of this hyperdimensional neural network system with, you know, with built-in transformers and you know, attention focus engines. In essence, a predictive model that can spit out any kind of generated content. You know, it can write poems, it can write stories, it can write business plans, it can generate graphics, it can generate movies and films. Can generate voices, it can translate, it can speak multiple languages, but none of those skills were ever programmed into it. That's what I'm trying to get people to understand, and nobody really understands that except some of the high-level people involved in machine learning and AI. They get it, but the average person doesn't have any idea what I'm talking about. They're like, what do you mean none of that was programmed in? No, none of it was programmed in. It came out itself. There are no lines of code that are telling AI systems how to engage in reasoning. There are no lines of code. Nowhere to be found. it's an emergent property. It came out. And all of a sudden, these systems can take over your business processes and replace your office assistants. And they can do all these tasks that humans used to do and will no longer do soon, by the way. So that's a big trend. And I've seen a few articles, by the way, of some backlash against AI by people who are clueless. I think there was one article, I think it was on Zero Hedge last week. I don't even know who wrote it, but somebody said that, you know, AI is going to be a big flop because it reduces the cost of producing garbage to almost zero. But they don't understand what's going on. It's not producing garbage. It's actually producing content that is of a higher quality than a genius level human being right now, today. And it will vastly exceed human intelligence in the next 12 months, probably by a factor of 10. So you're going to be talking about like a 10x Einstein language model that can outthink, outwrite, outproduce, outcreate, outranslate any human being on planet Earth. And that's still just the beginning. In another year, it'll be 100 times smarter than a human being. It's not a flop. This is the beginning of the singularity. This is the end of the era of human cognition dominance on our planet. And it's the transition to the era of machine cognition. And I see it because I understand what's happening with the emergent properties. A lot of people who don't have a background in, you know, computers or code or databases or multidimensional arrays, they don't get it. They think it's a parlor trick. It's not a parlor trick. It's something entirely new. It's an entirely new operating system of meaning and understanding and communication that we've only begun to scratch the surface of. So get ready for some bombshell AI announcements throughout this year. All right, the next important trend for 2024 will be the acceleration of global de-dollarization. And also, of course, that will be tied to more accelerated domestic money printing in the United States because, you know, got to have another trillion to fund another war or maybe four wars. So they're going to be printing, what, $1 trillion a month? And how are they going to, I mean, even if they print the money, how are they going to build the munitions? How are they going to get the soldiers? You know, they're not. They're going to try to print their way to victory, which doesn't work, it turns out. But you're going to see massive money printing. Eventually, it'll be $1 trillion a week in the United States, while throughout 2024, the BRICS plus nations reject the dollar and transition their international settlements away from the dollar. So 2024 will be the year that the dollar dies. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to be over entirely. I'm not saying it's going to be zero by the end of 2024, but it's the year that dollar dominance dies across the globe. You know, because like there was a year that the British pound sterling died when it was apparent that it was no longer the dominant currency of the world, that the British Empire, its days were done. And I don't know what year that was exactly, thinking back. I don't know. Well, I don't know. I'd have to look at a chart, but it ended, you know, over 100 years ago. Well, 2024 is the year that the dollar dies in terms of global dominance, and that's going to hurt here at home. So you're going to see a lot more people moving into things like gold and silver or alternative, you know, monetary systems, privacy, crypto. Even maybe Bitcoin for some people, if they don't mind the public transparent blockchain with no privacy. But people are going to use other systems for asset savings and also for trade because the dollar is going to lose so much value so quickly that it will impoverish millions of people. All right, the next alarming trend for 2024 is the Black Swan events. It's kind of hard to call this a trend because I guess by definition, a black swan is an event that didn't trend. It just popped out of the blue. You know, it's an unexpected, it's an unpredictable event. That's what a black swan is by definition. But I think that we're going to see a number of black swans in 2024. It's going to be like a flock of black swans and they're going to be wearing, you know, suicide vests. And they're going to be leading an army of drones behind them. It's going to be like the Black Swan suicide kamikaze drone squad from the sky. And they're going to be setting off all kinds of crazy things. Like we might have, you know, a cyber attack on the banking system, cyber attack on the power grid, false flag attacks, EMP attacks, right? Or some kind of contrived financial emergency that will be explained to us as probably something involving the Russians did it. You know, that's what we're going to be told when your banks close and your dollars go to almost zero. It's going to be the Russians' fault. You can already tell. They're going to set up that narrative. Or maybe it's China's fault. Or maybe it's the North Koreans. But they're setting up something like that. I think we're going to see several black swan events in 2024. And I have the feeling they're going to involve banking and the power grid. So get prepared in both of those areas. Speaking of that, another item on my list here is the energy infrastructure takedown. So that trend, which is being pushed in the name of, you know, the climate cult lunatics, that trend will continue throughout 2024. And as you know, that's all about just basically achieving global depopulation by taking away the infrastructure that drives and supports human civilization. It's like, no power for you. No fossil fuels for you. No energy for you. No air conditioning, no heating, no transportation. Good luck. No fertilizer. No diesel fuel for your farm tractors. Yeah, good luck. This is how they're going to just cause mass famine and societal collapse, which will lead to, of course, depopulation, violence, and disease, and just mass murder, you know, chaos. This is all part of the plan. So they have to take down the energy infrastructure. And of course, they're going to continue to push the climate change lunacy, nonsense, and they're going to try to scare you every time there's a snowstorm. Oh my God, it's snowing. It's so cold. It was never this cold before. Even though, of course, the history of Earth and the history of other planets in our solar system, where there are not cars and highways, those planets have so-called climate change all the time because of changing cycles of solar activity from, you know, from our sun, obviously. Hence the word solar. But nobody in the mainstream media wants to talk about our sun. They want to imagine it's not even there. It's like they look up on a bright, sunny day and you say, do you see the sun? And they would say, I don't see any sun. There's no sun. There is no sun. And the borders are secure and there's no inflation. And Trump is an insurrectionist. And there's no sun. And like, well, why do you think we're warm right now? Because, you know, isn't the sun making us warm? And they would say, no, it's global warming. That's why we're warm. It's global warming. It's carbon dioxide. They actually delete the sun from their consciousness. They probably forget that a sun even exists. You could probably give these people a quiz. Like, what is it that's in the sky that you see on a bright daytime skyward glance and it comes up in the morning, and when it's not raining, you can see it. And it's something, it's really nice to look at. What is that thing in the sky? And they would say, a cloud? Is it a cloud? No, not a cloud. It's something, it's more very bright. Like you don't even want to look at it directly. It's so bright. And it's responsible for the warmth of the planet. You know, what is that thing, you ask? And they would say, is it a weather balloon? It's a weather balloon, isn't it? It's a weather balloon. You just go on and on. They delete this from their consciousness because they have to believe the climate cult. So they have to actually hypnotize themselves with all kinds of lies, like photosynthesis isn't a thing somehow. Okay, also in 2024, you're going to see more aggressive censorship because, of course, it's an election year. And so all speech has to be controlled in order to protect democracy from, you know, the voters. That's the way Democrats talk now. We have to protect democracy from the people. Like, what, do you even hear yourself? Democracy is supposed to be a representative form of government that represents the people? Well, we can't have people deciding who wins elections. That would be disastrous. We have to limit the people, and we have to limit speech. We have to limit debates. And so censorship is going to go on steroids. You're also going to see calls for censorship of large language models. Uh-huh. You know, the AI systems. In fact, the New York Times has already sued OpenAI, claiming that OpenAI was trained on New York Times articles. Well, that's interesting. There are also a lot of college professors who were trained on New York Times articles. And when they teach college classes, they pretty much spew the same talking points as New York Times articles. Is the New York Times going to sue all their reader base and say you're not allowed to read New York Times articles and learn from them? You're not allowed to gain understanding and concepts, and you're not allowed to ever state or restate a New York Times article in your own words? Is that what they're saying? Because that sounds insane. You know, it's so funny, these lawsuits against OpenAI, and I understand there are some book publishing companies that are suing them and other AI projects as well, like Microsoft and so on. Probably Google will get sued. All of them will get sued by book publishers. And I guess the book publishers are demanding that you're not allowed to read our books. You know, you're not allowed to read our books to train your language model. And I'm thinking, well, why did you publish your book if you don't want your book to be used as a learning tool by people or even machines that would learn the concepts in your book, and then they might restate those concepts in their own prose, you know, their own presentations, their own articles, what have you. But I guess we're going to enter a new era now where book publishers say no one's allowed to read our book, not even humans. And if you do read it, you're not allowed to say anything from the book. It's like if you read a book on herbs, and then you're not allowed to say anything about the herbs mentioned in the book, or you're going to be sued for copyright infringement. Like there's a whole chapter on, turmeric, let's say, and you know, anti-inflammatory properties, neuroprotective, anti-cancer, all this stuff. But if you say those things, then you get sued. Oh, how dare you learn from our book? That's the way the New York Times is acting against OpenAI right now. You know, but then again, publishers don't even understand how large language models work. They don't copy your articles, New York Times. They don't copy your articles and store a copy of your article. They read your article and they use that to update their parameters, which simply defines relationships between words and phrases and concepts. And that's it. So it's just, you know, reading a New York Times article just influencing the parameters of the language model. It's just updating some of the numbers and some of the weights and some of the relationships between words. Like, for example, you know, Trump and insurrection. If you read a lot of New York Times articles, Trump and insurrection are going to be very closely related. So it would just update those terms to make the language model more, you know, biased against Trump, basically. And frankly, if you train your language model on the New York Times, you're training it to lie, because that's what the New York Times does. They just lie all the time. You know, CIA mouthpiece, just like the Washington Post, they just lie all the time, which tells you that you probably shouldn't trust OpenAI ChatGPT because it has been trained on lies. I mean, that's my beef with the language model. Not that they were trained on copyrighted material, but they were trained on lying material. You know, all the official lies from the corporate media. The corporate media is misinformation on purpose. They spew disinformation. They lie about everything that matters. Elections and open borders and Hunter Biden's laptop, inflation, you know, you name it. They lie about everything. They lie about Iran. They lie about Russia. They lie about what's happening in the Middle East. They lie all the time. So the language models are learning to be liars. And that's why we need truth tellers, like those of us in independent media, to release our own language models, which is what I'm working on. And I'll have one released for you in about 100 days or so, or I don't know, maybe 90 days. We'll see. But definitely, we're going to see a lot more censorship in 2024. Now, yes, on top of that, we're also going to see more vaccine deaths and more vaccine lies. Take jab number 7. We'll be told, or whatever number they're up to now. You need jab 7. You're like, why? Well, because they're going to say jabs 1 through 6, they don't work anymore. So you need jab 7. Like, at what point do you just write off the idiots that still believe this stuff? I mean, you've heard the saying, like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. What about fool me thrice? And fool me 4 times, 5 times, 6 times, 7 times, 8 times. People keep coming back and lining up for the booster shots, being told the same damn lie every time. Like, well, all the other shots, they don't work anymore. You need this new one. And if you take this one, then we'll conquer this whole pandemic. It'll all be good. Just take this one, you know? And then they're just lied to again and again and again. You know, it's like, I don't know if you're in this situation, but it's like being the one person in your family who has money and you have a drug addict in your family who keeps coming to you for money. Like, if you just give me another $5,000, I'll get clean. You know, that's what the vaccine boosters are like. And we all have somebody like that in our families, right? Some addict that always needs more money to get clean, right? But really it's to buy more drugs, more heroin, more crack, more fentanyl, whatever. I mean, a lot of people are vaccine junkies. They keep coming back to vaccines like crack addicts, you know? They got to have the needle, got to have their hit. It's not heroin, it's spike protein. But somehow it makes them feel good, makes them feel complete or something, which is, I suppose, the way heroin makes people feel as well. There's definitely some kind of weird vax addiction mentality going on. Of course, it doesn't last forever because eventually those people end up, you know, dead, or at least a lot of them do. But we're going to see a lot more of that in 2024. I just say, you know, say no to vaccines. Don't be a vaccine junkie, just like you would say no to heroin. All right. Those are really the big trends that I came up with so far for 2024. There are smaller ones, of course. I mean, you're going to see the establishment media pushing Nikki Haley or whatever horrible rhino GOP member they can drag up. Believe me, whatever candidate the media is pushing, that's the candidate you don't want. Even if it's a GOP or Democrat or independent, whatever. You really want the candidates that the media are attacking the most. That's actually a pretty good rule of thumb, because any candidate that would be good for America and good for you would be, of course, bad for the establishment. So the establishment's going to attack them and try to destroy them, which really opens up the field. It's kind of interesting. The establishment attacks RFK Jr. They attack Trump, of course, like crazy. They try to ignore, you know, Dr. Shiva, and they attack Vivek Ramaswamy. And it's going to be an interesting year in terms of politics, but they're pushing Nikki Haley. And Nikki's the worst choice. Nikki's just like a rhino Hillary Clinton, basically. I mean, she's like a John McCain in drag, essentially. She's just another John McCain. Just a rhino globalist pretending to be pro-America. So get any thought of her out of your head and focus on candidates that might actually do something for America. And, you know, hey, one final thought on elections and such. I've got issues with Trump on a couple of things. But, you know, one of the best things about the idea of getting Trump back into office is who we could get in as the Attorney General of the DOJ or Supreme Court nominations, you know? Supreme Court nominations. More conservative, constitutional Supreme Court justices. I mean, one of Trump's greatest victories in his first administration was, you know, the nomination of the three justices that got in. And without that, we would be lost as a nation. You know, the Supreme Court is right now kind of the last line of defense against the total left-wing tyranny and fascism. And so think about who the Supreme Court nominees might be. I mean, RFK Jr., according in a recent interview, I think, with Charlie Kirk, he would not answer who he would nominate as Supreme Court justices. We know who Trump would nominate because he's already got a track record of doing that. And overall, you know, very solid choices. But I want to see Ken Paxton as the Attorney General of the United States. You know, he's the AG of Texas right now, Paxton. And they tried to destroy him. They impeached him. And then he survived the impeachment trial, which was all made up garbage against him, by the way. And now he's back in business and he's fighting for Texans and he's fighting for America. He's fighting against big tech and big pharma and all these dangerous anti-American corporations and interests and lobby groups and so on. Ken Paxton would make a great AG in the DOJ, and it's going to take a guy like Trump in the Oval Office to get people like Paxton into the DOJ. So that's something to consider in all of this. Nevertheless, 2024 is going to be a very interesting year. And there would be things that we can't anticipate. There would be things that will just blow our minds. But the best thing we can do is prepare your assets, prepare your mind, prepare your mental health, prepare yourself spiritually, and have backup supplies of everything that matters, you know, food and money and first aid and communications equipment, all these kinds of things. And, you know, I've got sponsors in all these spaces that I mention from time to time. And if you listen to my podcast, you'll hear me list them. I might put a list after this, but just make sure that you get ready, because this is going to be the most difficult year of our lives. And 2025 will probably be even worse. But that's my summary for the most important trends in 2024. Thank you for listening. Mike Adams here, naturalnews.com and brighteon.com.